Hey guys, we're back with Josh Litauer. As everybody probably knows by now, we've been listening to another episode with him, and we were really intrigued by the modern man and his dating life, his dating spectacles sometimes, the drama in dating. Like I mentioned before, we were talking a little bit about how things have changed over the years. And, you know, we're going to 2020, Ariana, and I'm with my partner, Ariana. Say hi to everybody.
Hey.
And Josh is here. Josh is playing with his phone because I gave him an assignment. I gave him a little bit of homework just now. Because we are on apps. We're looking at apps. We're looking at dating apps. Which one are you on right now, Josh?
I am currently on Bumble and more or less striking out. So
I'm on Dine, and I've got a picture of a group of guys that all look like they're drunk and have no interest in finding out who the guy is because they all look kind of goofy.
What app are you on?
Dine.
Dine. And how does that one work? You go out for dinner.
The context of Dine is you set up a profile, you select three different restaurants at three price points in which you would be interested in being taken on a date.
Oh.
If men find my profile and they want to take me on a date, they've got to select one of my picked restaurants and they've got to provide a specific time and date. So it cuts out all the bullshit of the small talk and says, hey, I'm serious enough to take you out to dinner. I'm going to take you to this restaurant on this night.
Yes.
And then I have X amount of time for me to decline or accept the invitation.
Listen, and what if you don't want to be in that diner or whatever your date? What do you do?
Like once you're on the date?
Yeah.
Once you're on the date, it's like a killer?
Yeah.
I'm really honest.
Ariana's a baller. She'll straight up leave.
I will.
You're just not going to. You're like, I'm just not interested. This is not working out for me. It's really not what I thought. I mean,
if they're here's the thing. If it's a great guy and they've got, you know, they're educated and everything, but there's like no interest, or I don't think I'm going to go out on a date with them again. Uh-huh. I will flat out tell them like, hey, look, I think you're a stellar person. I don't really see this going anywhere.
Yeah. What's a buzzkill? What's going to kill the, what is one thing they will do that will just kill it for you? Like immediately.
When they are so insecure that it shows up in so many different ways.
Like,
a guy constantly making excuses for ordering the food that he ordered, or for making an excuse for, like, I went out with, like the very first date I went on after I got divorced.
Yeah.
It was a guy, and we were sitting at a upscale place here in the Galleria, and he ordered like a generic brand beer, like some basic stuff. I really don't care.
Yeah. Okay.
But he kept making it. He kept saying like, yeah, I'm going to order a Miller Lite. I don't care. And I was like, dude, I really don't care either.
Yeah.
But then he kept mentioning, I was like, okay, clearly he's got insecurity issues. He feels out of place being here with me. And he's constantly having to excuse himself for ordering a Miller Lite. By the way, I don't need to be dating anybody that's drinking anyway.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with people who drink. I just can't marry someone that, Mary, listen to me, date someone that has that insecurity.
Yeah. Not good.
That goes both ways though too. Insecurity is a huge thing for me. So like same deal. Like girl orders us, you know, certain food. It comes out like, I don't know. Maybe she's like, oh, it's just way bigger than I thought. Like I'm just like, I can't eat all of it, or like I feel really weird. Like it's a cheat day anyway, so it's okay. Like justifying it.
Yeah.
If you start justifying things on the very first date, I'm like, clearly you're going to do this the whole relationship. So like, it's probably a no go.
One of the first things I tell guys when we go out to dinner on a date to say, look, I'm a steak and potato kind of girl. I'm going to eat, and I'm not going to order a salad or pretend to eat salads.
Yeah. You know what's annoying to me is when we go out like on couples and dates, and they're constantly sharing their food. I can't stand that. I don't like that at all.
I totally agree with that.
Like,
too.
I tell him, you stay with your food, I stay with mine. But, like, yeah, sometimes it'll be a little annoying when the other couple is constantly like, let me have some of yours. No, let me try some of yours. Well, order this for me because I want this. It's like, oh, that is so annoying.
I have some friends, too, where she'll order for both of them. He literally he'll sit there, he'll order his drink. He's like, I'll have an old fashioned. And she's like, and he'll have the steak salad. And
what
I'm like,
do you think?
How dare you order his food? I get so angry about it.
Does he have an objection to it? Or he's probably just used to it now.
At this point, he's used to it. They've been married for 10 years.
But what does that fundamentally say about their relationship?
That she runs the freaking house.
Yes, and you have to know that couple too. I know this couple very, very well. So to him, it's a moot point. He's so focused on other things that
he's gonna pick his battles wisely.
Yeah, what he eats does not matter to him. So he's
smart.
He's smart. But if that's early on in the dating process and she's like, I'll order for you, I'm like, playful, maybe. But if they're doing this consistently, like, nah, I'm ordering my own food.
You know what,
like,
though?
Yeah,
like,
no, that's annoying to me, too.
Girls have gotten this way, too, because I was with a girl for a long time, too, and I'd be like, hey, let me get, you probably want, you know, water with lemon and this food. You always get that. She's like, I want to order it for myself. And I'm like, I was right, but she still wanted to order it for herself.
Yeah.
So, like, some people get weird about that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, if you need to do that, go for it. I'm not that way either. Like, if you want to order my food, it's probably cool. Like, I don't
how important is chivalry for you when you're dating a girl? Is it really important that you pull out her chair, that you open her door? Or do you find it, you know, hey, if she wants to open her own door, that's her, you know, she's a woman. She can do it herself.
Yeah, so I initiate with chivalry.
Yeah.
But I also have some leniency. So, like, I'm not going to, like, stumble over myself to make sure I get to the door first. If she's a step ahead, I'll just reach around and pick, you know, grab the door as she, you know, she opens it. Not a big deal. Like, I think what happens is you make a big deal out of it either way. You either make a big deal out of chivalry or you make a big deal out of letting her do all of her own stuff. So I think there's a happy medium somewhere in there. Like, if I'm, you know, a step ahead, I'll make it to the door first.
Yeah.
I'm going to open the door. I will open the car door. Like, I do that too.
Yeah.
I open car doors so you can get in. Like, I let you in, make sure your foot's in, that I don't smash your foot and get in. I walk around. Like, so I lead with that, but I don't always assume that that's the way that the girl wants to go.
Would it annoy you if she just stood there and waited for you to open the door for her?
Probably some. And it does depend on the girl too. Cause like I've had some where they stood defiantly at the door and I opened the door and they said, no, I can open my own door.
What?
And I'm like, okay,
dude,
you open the door then.
There's such an art to letting the man just be the man. Like, I am that girl.
Yeah.
Who will just, like, I will not be aggressive about it. I'll just stand by and give him the opportunity to come around and open the door. And then if he doesn't, then I'll just let myself in. That's fine. And sometimes I'll be like,
you make a mental note of it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Now, it's not a deal breaker right off the bat. And later on, I'm transparent enough to say, hey, I love little things like this. Like, my love languages are in acts of service. So for me, I think it's like super sexy if you open the door for me. What do you think about that? And then let him see what he says. Give him the fucking opportunity and communicate clearly, damn it.
Yeah.
You can't read your mind either.
We confuse
that a little bit, because even on apps, even though they're giving you a lot of information, they're telling you about, you know, because I just saw what you pulled up. You said, you know, there was something that talked about yours. You had, you know, that you were a big nerd. You're, you know, you like fitness. I mean, I don't know if you want to open it up for me just so that people can know.
Yeah, sure.
About
I'll even read you. So, ladies, if you're paying attention, listening, here's
because
my profile.
Because I
want to
ask a few questions about your profile and why you set it up that way.
So, my profile says my name, Josh. I'm 27. I'm an engineer. This is the company, what university I went to. And I should go ahead and set the tone for what I'm like. That way, we just go ahead and get it on the table. I said, I'm ambitious. I love hard work and self-development. I enjoy fitness. I'm a definite nerd. I have several side hustles. And I enjoy an old-fashioned and big leather chairs on Friday night.
Okay,
so it goes ahead
awesome.
And sets the stage. Yes, I'm ambitious. It's going to be difficult to find time for me to get with you. I'm very chill. Old fashions and a leather chair on a Friday night. That is super chill.
That is sophisticated chill, though. That's not like,
chill.
I just want to smoke weed and play video games.
Exactly.
Right?
So I go ahead and set the tone. And then the rest of my pictures are actually set up. So I fill out all the information. I'm 5'8", active. I have an undergraduate degree, blah, blah, blah. Like all this stuff. I show some other things that I like to do, right? So I have pictures of me hiking. I have pictures of me out in Washington, D.C. It shows I like culture a little bit. I have a picture of me in fitness because I was a professional athlete. I also have a picture of me coaching because I was a CrossFit coach for several years. And so coaching shows, A, that I'm comfortable being a leader and up in front of a group, and that I like working with people.
Yeah.
And then I just have some, you know, a few other like random little things in there. But even like favorite qualities, I go ahead and put kindness, sense of humor, and integrity. I put that straight up in the front. Like, if you're not, if you have no integrity, chance of me
now, let me
you,
ask you, do you think the women in these, are they self-aware to know that I have, because everybody thinks they have integrity. Everybody thinks they have, you know, loyalty. Everybody thinks, a lot of people really don't know themselves well enough. And then you think, dude, you said, I told you I'm a man of integrity.
Yep.
You can't tell me you're coming at 8:00 and you show up at 8:30, or you not call me, not text me, not tell me something's going on. Like, that's not integrity.
Yep.
That's not showing you. So I'm wondering, are they that aware of themselves, and do they see that?
So yeah, and that is interesting, and I think this may go back to, like, I think we've mentioned before, like, first date questions. What do you ask? One question, this could be really insightful too, is what is the hardest thing that you've ever been through and how did you deal with it?
Yeah.
Because it tells you a lot about a person where their mindset is at and how they're actually going to overcome difficulty. And you can see whether or not they have integrity based on how they answer that question. Because some people will get into hard situations and like they'll tell you like they'll either tell you that it was really hard and they just got over it. I'm like, you didn't just get over it. Like you don't just get over things, right? You actually have to do some work on yourself. Like, you know, or they'll tell you about, I'm like, I'll even ask, what, like, tell me a time when you lost, like when you were in a losing situation, you lost a debate, you lost a game, you lost
a job,
you lost something, you lost a family member, you lost something.
Yeah.
And what, tell me about a time that you lost and let me hear what you did, because that tells me everything about your mindset.
Damn, that's a question I need to be
Are
asking.
You overanalyzing people though when you do that?
No. I don't think so. Again, this is a standards thing. And I actually think this too, because I've been on some dating sites long enough to know now that I think I'm going to have a very hard time finding somebody on a dating site. It just my belief, because people like me don't hang out on it.
No. Nope.
Quite honestly, I don't think the girl that you are really going to pair up really well with is going to be online. I think it's going to be somebody who's going to set you up with someone.
I agree.
Because to me, I really feel that, because people who know people, like I can see, oh, you know, she's got a really, that girl's the hardest working girl I've ever met. Ooh, she would go really well with him because he's the hardest working guy.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't, people say, well, you know, opposites attract. To me, a lot of likes have to be together. You know why?
I could speak to you about opposites attract because I'm married opposite for 10
and
years.
I've been married to my alike for 20 years. And if he wasn't like hardcore about things like I am, I couldn't be married to him.
Yeah.
I would be annoyed with him if he wasn't as hardcore.
Yeah.
So for me, it would be somebody who would be setting you up. Somebody who knows you pretty well.
Yep. So I do agree.
Do you agree with that?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
I'm relying on you to set me with someone up.
Yeah, girl. Oh my God. I don't go out very much.
No. me either. I don't go out either. So like, I think this is probably different about me too. So like, when I say old fashioned and I like big leather chair on a Friday night, I am just as cool doing that by myself at a bar and leaving at 8 o'clock.
You don't even need company. You just can be there on your own.
I have been known to bring books to a bar to get an old fashioned and read my book.
Uh-huh.
Like, and people are like, dude, you are super weird. I'm like, I just know what I want and I don't care.
No, I don't
Bingo.
Think it's weird
You're
at all.
Real. You're real.
It's very authentic.
You're not there to post up at a bar and put out the vibe and see what kind of flies you can catch with your honey. No. You're there truly to enjoy the experience that you're creating for yourself. If you happen to meet someone, it's a great consequence, but that's not why you're going.
That's not the purpose for
me. I have no. One of my favorite books is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
It's sitting
on
my shelf
right
now.
You must read it.
Yeah.
Absolutely must read it.
That's a classic.
It's a classic. It's great. And so I was sitting at a bar one night. It was only like 8 o'clock. Like I was fixing to leave pretty soon. But if a girl had come and sat down, and actually several girls did approach me, tried to have conversations. Clearly, I was not into it. So they left, right?
Did they ask you about the book you were reading?
No.
Okay.
Oh, my
See,
God.
That would have been the difference. If she,
if she comes down and is like, oh, my God, Napoleon Hill. I love Napoleon Hill.
Yes.
I was like, book is down. We can have a conversation.
I was just going to say. These girls, but that would be a good magnet for the right woman because she would come in and say, that's a great book.
That's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to take my Napoleon Hill books and go out to different places and sit down and see.
Not only that, like it could be any book. To me, you know, a book. But if they're, you know, for me, obviously, I don't really like fictional books, nonfiction for me are my favorite. But if I was to see a guy reading a book, that would be my approach. Hey, I like that book. What are you reading? What is it about? You know, da 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 da.
So when you're out and you see people reading those kinds of books, you need to think about me and Josh, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, and to me, that would be somebody that would tickle your mind.
Okay,
that's right.
So I just picked up this book, and it's very old school, Self-Reliance by Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Wow.
I love the concept, right, of self-reliance. Is it going too far if you've gone on several dates with somebody to give them the book, Self-Reliance, because it basically talks about your internal game? What is your mindset like? What is your head?
I don't
like?
See it as wrong. I think it's totally cool.
So some people may take that as too aggressive, but I feel like
no.
The right people would be like, oh.
It's not aggressive at all.
I think it's a great idea. I'm like, hey, you must read it. It's only 12 pages.
You will never offend
pages.
The right person.
It's the exact.
That's a great point. That's a great point, too. So, like, I think you can tell right away. So, like, texting's weird, too, right? So most of us communicate via text. Like, I've talked with several girls recently, and, like, getting on the phone is, like, weird. And they're like, yeah, I don't, like, I just don't ever get on the phone. They just text. which also gives them the opt out, which means they can ghost you.
Yes.
So
ghosting.
We talked about that,
ghosting,
remember?
Right?
Yes.
So like I've been ghosted before, right? And it's either like quite honestly, I don't take it personally. I'm like, they didn't think
they
I was
lost
for
interest.
Them. That's fine.
Yeah.
No sweat. Like, but I do appreciate the upfront honesty. If they were like I don't know, you've mentioned this before, a guy was like, hey, I'm not trying to ghost you, like I'm not in the right space to be dating right now. I'm like, I would love that response.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a girl and you're like, hey, I had a great time, I just don't think we're a good fit, I would respect the hell out of that.
Yeah.
But if you straight up ghost me, especially if I'm like, hey, we'd love to get together again, and you straight up are like, never respond, I'm like,
yeah.
You may as well just be like, hey, I really appreciate the offer, but I don't think it's going to, like, I don't think we need to do that.
Yeah.
Like,
have you made
no
some
problem.
Exceptions on dates to give yourself some opportunity for expanding the horizons? I'll give you an example. I have a type. Recently in dating in the last year, I took away all those conventions and I went out with Asian guys, Black guys, White guys, Hispanic guys, Middle Eastern guys, tall, short, fat, successful, not successful, like everything.
Yeah.
And I learned like I had to unscrew myself and not compare them to my ex or to this expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I've tried. I'll be honest. Like, I have a hard time with it. Like, totally, because I do have some level of expectation too, and because I set my whole life up that way, it's really hard to untie myself from it. So now I have gone out like just to have a good time. I've met people, and like it's fun just to have conversations. But I intentionally have to go in with the I have zero expectations mentality.
Is there such a thing as? Let me ask. How to ask this? So. Because you're a man, right? And I'm not saying you're this man, but you know, because you know, there's
yeah.
a secret man society. Like, you have to know.
There is, though. It's called Fight Club, and we can't talk about it.
There you go.
Fight Club.
The question is, can it be too soon for a girl to sleep with a guy? Like, does that ruin everything? Like,
okay, so this is that's an interesting one, because if you are like me, yes. If you come out the gates too strong, like first date, it goes pretty well, you get some drinks and she invites herself over, no, do not invite yourself to my house. To me, there's a definite line. And you can even have some chemistry. Like I went out with a girl not too long ago, we had some good chemistry, it was fun, nothing got physical. Like, and I'll say this, like.
And because what? Why didn't it get physical? Because it was good chemistry.
I think for me, no, like I will say, it didn't hug and a kiss on the way out. Like that was it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, that's probably just my style too. Is I'm a slow burn. Like
mm-hmm.
I would much rather
give yourself some time.
Yeah, because like, and I feel like most girls should be this way, but I could be totally wrong. Like from meeting you for the first time to having you naked in my bed that night seems super fast. It's fast for me. I mean, certain parts of me should only be seen, like, you know, after a long time. So that's just a personal
yeah,
thing for me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Some people clearly don't care. And you're like, but I'm not a hookup type person. So this, again, why probably dating apps are not for me. Because, like, Tinder,
yeah.
if you want to hook up, Tinder's for you.
It's all a hookup culture.
It's straight hookup. Like, it's just not me, though.
Yeah.
So I think there is a timeline. And I think, again, like you mentioned before, is like having a, like you have to have some level of emotional stimulation or connection before
yeah.
getting to that point.
Before it becomes physical or intimate.
And even, and I would even say that's true even if you don't, I would actually, it's true especially if you don't really see a future with them. You like, be careful because some people, depending on how they separate their sex life and their emotional connection, like if they totally separate it and sex is just sex, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
They probably won't think twice about it. But if you come across a girl who puts out too early but has emotional connection to it,
ooh.
Now she's going to have emotional issues that she's going to deal with for herself later
yeah.
on. I, as a man, would feel weird if I was like, I just emotionally took advantage of this girl.
Because yeah.
she's going to be screwed up for a little while. She's like, well, I thought we had it going on. I put out. I don't understand why he didn't come back to me. Now she's like, all screwed up.
You know what, though? That is very good insight because that's what I tell my son at 16 years old. I said, you think that, you know, sex, for boys about exploration, all that, but you've got to keep in mind that you are also putting her emotions on, you know, on the table.
It's been scientifically
it's
proven.
It's not
that.
Just about your
yeah.
physical need to for that, you know, because they're
yeah.
little, they're young, they're exploring. I said, but you, what you, boys don't consider is her emotions, her feelings afterwards, how she feels about herself afterwards.
It's a huge responsibility.
It's a huge responsibility. But I think boys need to be taught that they have that they have to have that responsibility for what she's feeling and what she's going to feel afterwards. I don't think a lot of boys are taught that.
No, and it's been scientifically proven that men do have the physical capacity to detach emotionally from sex. And women are going to be emotionally tied.
Yeah.
Now, there's a period in my life where I could say I was probably a man, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
But that is a huge responsibility.
It also goes back to upbringing. How were you brought up? And what sort of values were you instilled with? Because some of us were instilled with certain values from the moment we were very young. You know, in the Latino culture, like, girls don't have sex before marriage.
Right.
You're supposed to have, you know, that you should supposed to save it for him, da-da-da-da-da, and he's not going to like you. You give it up. No boy's going to like you ever again because you already give it up. Like, their value on that is, like, great to me because I wasn't brought up that way.
Yeah.
But that's how a lot of my friends were brought up. But a lot of those things we bring into relationships, a lot of those idiosyncrasies that we create in ourselves, we bring them into relationships.
I think what...
And finding a partner that kind of has that same balance there with you.
I think what Josh is really getting down to, when you boil it down, is make sure that you're not getting into relationships where you're going to be each other's emotional dumpsters. And where you're not going to take out your mommy and daddy issues on each other.
Yep.
You've got to work through that shit. And it's never going to be 100% fixed. But it's being self-aware and knowing I'm going to have to deal with these things. And being able to separate someone and say, honey, I love you so much. I just realized that what I said to you yesterday was really me. Like, I spoke to you the way my father used to speak to my mom or vice versa.
Yes.
I have that level of hyper-awareness.
Yes.
You know, and I've actually gone back. I recently went back and apologized to a male friend. It's not even a romantic relationship, but a male friend. We work closely together. And I recognized, I said, hey, I owe you an apology. The other day, I publicly shamed you in front of other men who are in our hierarchy in the organization. Not only did I shame you, but I disrespected you in front of other people that you look up to. That was a double whammy. And I didn't even realize what I was doing, but I reflected on it and I recognized that I am so sorry. I do not intend to do that again.
Yeah.
But it takes like super hyper awareness to know that.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I think the thing that we've hit on multiple times now is that level of self-awareness, regardless of whether you're a guy or a girl. Like,
absolutely.
You have to establish for yourself like who you are to you, like to yourself. And I've heard this, if you're familiar, if you follow me at all, you'll learn that I really love Ed Mylett and I just resonate with him very well. But like part of that, what he talks about is self-confidence, and self-confidence is the reputation that you've built with yourself. So part of that reputation is keeping promises to yourself and understanding who you are and what you actually want. So part of like this whole big self-awareness circle is that level of confidence and knowing who you actually are.
Yeah.
And so like, if you have not handled who you are with yourself, you're going to try and handle it with other people.
Yeah.
You'll become like that emotional dumpster to other people. And that becomes, now you're, that's where like long-term you start to like get to codependency, and codependency, then both parties start to lose their individual identity. And then you just become like a weird couple identity where nobody actually knows who they are.
Bingo. And that's what happened in my marriage.
Yeah.
I was so, you know, busy trying to be the perfect everything that I stopped being the person he fell in love with to begin with. So I think having boundaries and enjoying your individual hobbies is so important. I stopped dancing just because he didn't like to dance. We tried taking professional ballroom dancing lessons together and he suffered through it. I see he didn't like it. So we stopped doing that. But I could have gone back and done my Zumba classes by myself and enjoyed that. He should have done, like, he got super heavy into CrossFit, so I got into that because I wanted to do that together. And I think you should give it a whirl.
Yeah.
But I stopped being that independent, free-loving woman that he fell in love with initially because I became all about being the perfect wife, the perfect cook, the perfect lover, the perfect homemaker, the perfect all of these things.
Yeah.
But who imposed those?
Yourself.
Me.
Yeah.
You know, and so when I learned to unravel myself from that and detach myself, and I went back to being that, but he refused
but
to do that.
But Adi, I can also tell you that when you've been with somebody, you were with him for 10 years. I've been with somebody for 20, that you do become like each other and you do take on each other's, traits.
You do.
And characteristics.
You do.
And sometimes unwillingly and subconsciously, I become a lot more like him and he becomes a lot more like me. But
it's being okay with that.
It's being okay. I was just going to say that. It's being okay and realizing, oh my gosh, I'm so much more like you than I thought. And he would tell me too, like, I've become so much more loving and affectionate because of you. Like those things we sort of like shared after so many years. But even from the beginning, we kind of already knew those
yeah.
things. About
with
me,
it was like, oh shit, I've become like you and I'm not that.
Yes. Which is very interesting because, you know, you see couples that have been together for years.
Yeah.
And you wonder, like, oh, my God, have they always been that way? Or did they become this way after so long, you know?
Yeah.
We have three.
Well, I think one of the big things, too, is a continuation of your personal growth as an individual and as a couple together. Like, if you're
yeah.
not both growing, like, if people do evolve and change. Like, me 3 years ago versus me right now is night and day different. Like,
yeah.
you know, and I continue. Actually, y'all are really catching the best version of me. This is the best I've ever been, at least in my own opinion.
That's awesome.
Like, because me 3-4 years ago is kind of a little shithead, you know? Like, it's gotten way better because I've actually done that work in progress. But if the couple, if you as a couple, you and your partner are not working on that together
yeah.
in your own way, but at least on the same track of
on
growth,
the same page, yeah.
it's going to become very, very difficult for you long term.
Either we
Can
grow
I,
together
I,
or we outgrow each other.
Before we go, I want to ask you one more question. Do you have a biological clock?
Do I have a biologic? I'm
yeah.
going to be fertile for a long time.
You don't have a time frame for the time that you want to have kids. Be married, have kids like women.
Great question. So I used to. I actually envisioned for myself as an 18-year-old, right? Like when I was 18, I'm like, okay, by the time I'm on my way out of college, I'll have been dating seriously. I'll be ready to get married and start a family by 23, 24. I'm 27, almost 28 years old. I've been in a serious relationship, considered getting married, definitely did not.
So has the ship sailed?
Are you an old seamstress?
Are you going to become the cat lady?
I'm going to be the old man at the sea here and know, you know, be out there fishing for whales or something. I don't know. But it's going to be so like, no, I don't think my biological clock has run out. Like, I don't see that for myself. I think at the time, when the time is right and somebody steps in, like,
mm-hmm.
to actually be that person for me, I mean, I have no doubt that it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, from like a health and medical standpoint, if I was like 50, I'd be like, I don't know if I should be having kids, but it's clearly possible.
Yeah.
It works. Like some people do it, but I'd have to have a super young, you know, hot wife, but I'd have to be like a total baller.
I don't think that'll be a problem for
so,
you.
But either way, I don't think my biological clock is timed out.
Yeah.
Some girls think about that, you know, girls definitely think about it because it's a consideration, but I used to have a clock for myself. I don't anymore because now I understand myself a little bit better too.
Yeah.
And I have to make sure that I'm with the right person.
Last question. Would you date a cougar?
Would I date a cougar? Ah, jeez, maybe.
A cougar would be what age?
What age? Yeah, what age are we thinking here?
40 plus. Because
no,
now they're
no.
window for having kids.
No.
For him.
Ah, they're window for having kids.
For
after
him.
Because
the window for
yeah,
having
40,
kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No.
That's a good question.
I'm going to say no because if we do another podcast, we can talk about this stuff too. I really want to be a dad. And I think I'm going to be a kick-ass dad. So,
I think so, too.
Did you have a kick-ass father yourself?
Yeah, he was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I've actually been told recently by kids that I would be a better dad to girls than I would be to guys. I've been told that by children. So they're pretty honest, which
That's
means
awesome.
I think they're right. So I really want to be a dad, so being with a cougar is probably a no-go.
Sorry, cougars.
Sorry,
too bad.
Sorry.
Where can we follow you again, Josh, before we go?
Yeah, again, on pretty much all social profiles is at Josh_Littauer, and that's LittauER. And that's pretty much every social platform.
Yeah, yeah. And girls, he's not the type that wants you to slid into his DMs.
If you slide into my DMs, I'll probably try and sell you something.
If you have a book recommendation, that's the guy to go to. If you want to recommend something,
Perfect.
You know, maybe a culture, maybe something interesting. Don't come at him with no silliness. All right. But this was good.
This
I learned
so much
a lot,
fun.
Man. I really
I
have.
I suspect we'll be having Josh on here more frequently.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for all providing
you.
Your amazing perspective as always. And for those of you listening, we thank you once again for listening. Give us a thumbs up, subscribe, follow us, all things Tina Talks and the Stay Naked Podcast on thetinatalks.com. This has been Ariana and Alicia, and as always, stay naked.